Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, sitting in a very well-lit, pretty nice outside, Washington, D.C. apartment, speaking with... That's where you come in, CJ.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's good.
It works ever. CJ Toledano.
Where are you, CJ?
I am in my mom's house in Henderson, Nevada, right outside of Las Vegas.
Your mom recently moved to Vegas.
Right.
And you recently moved to L.A. from Chicago.
Right. Yep, so I make the occasional drive down here whenever I get the day off.
How long is the drive?
It's like 4 hours, or it could be like 6 hours in traffic.
How often is there traffic?
I would say like whenever you'd expect it to be busy, like on a Friday night or on a Sunday afternoon.
And that is just like getting through Vegas and getting through LA, or is that...
No, that's like, it's mostly all in LA is where the traffic comes in. Like you can be... You know, 100 miles outside of L.A., but it'll take you 3 hours.
And you moved to L.A. for an actual good reason. What is that reason?
I moved there to intern at Conan.
You're an intern at Conan. What exactly do you do?
What I do is for $0 an hour.
Wait. You don't get paid?
No, I don't get paid.
Why would you?
No, I'm an intern.
Some interns get paid.
Sure. Well, they don't pay you at Conan because it's Conan and people and kids, you know, they're like, oh, it's Conan. I don't need to get paid. But then, you know, you don't eat for days and you realize you have to have another job. So that's what that is. But
so
yeah,
you are living the dream. Okay.
Yeah, it's a real dream. Kevin Lee lives in my living room.
Kevin Lee, to the listener of the show, I've talked about Kevin Lee a lot. He started one of the films I made. Film turned out great. I wanted to murder Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee is also the only guest to ever have to cancel on You, Me, Them, Everybody Live the day of the show because he had a more lucrative gig hosting an open mic that had food, even though... wait, we're not done. Even though the guest on our show was a food writer and brought delicious food for the entire bar, so...
I remember that exact conversation. I told him, because you were giving us all those, promo jobs.
Yeah, I was giving you a bunch of jobs at the time, too.
And I was like, Kevin, you can't do this to Brandon. You know, I mean, I bet you if you ask Brandon for some money for food, he'll give it to you. He gives us jobs anyways. And he was like, no, I got to go host the Globe. And I remember it being awful.
Well, the thing about it is we had a food writer on the show.
Well, why do you think Kevin would ever put two and two together like that?
Kevin is the dumbest, nicest man you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
I fucking hate and love the guy. So you're...
Yeah, we've had several arguments since moving out to L.A.
Did he ever raise his voice, or did he just go, okay, well, you freak out?
I don't want to – I will just say it's a lot of, like, he's a very – he tries to, like, throw a lot of guilt in your face.
Really?
He'll go, you're mean. He'll do the you're mean thing. I'm like, we're – like, you're in your late 20s, Kevin. I'm 24.
No, I thought Kevin's 30.
I don't know.
I think Kevin's 30.
Yeah, but he's 18. Like, realistically, he's actually, like...
He looks young, too.
He's very young, yeah. He acts 18, which is great. It's great and terrible all at the same time.
And you're only 24. I thought you were older than that.
No, I am 24, yeah.
That's good. How's that treating you?
I feel old, though.
Yeah, you... CJ and I, we were never close friends, but I always liked you. What?
I don't know. No, we were friends.
We were friends, but we were never like, let's...
We had two different, like, focuses, I think, in Chicago. And we just, at one point, our paths crossed and we started working together on some stuff. Or, like, you had me on your show a bunch.
Yeah, I had you on the show a bunch. I got you some jobs for, like, just some temp jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you and I were never like, let's get a milkshake at 1 a.m. and talk about feelings. Then again,
I don't do that with my close friends.
I should start getting milkshakes at 1 a.m. and talk about feelings.
Yeah, I want to meet the people that you have those milkshakes with and if they think that's an okay thing.
They're just big Daniel Day-Lewis fans. So,
I don't know what that means.
Think about it, dude. There will be blood. Milkshake.
Got it.
Now it's no longer. It was never funny, but now it's really not funny. Sure. So you moved to from Chicago to LA to not get paid to work on Conan.
Yeah, I mean, no, it was. It's an awesome thing. I was really excited about it. I still am somewhat excited about the job. But yeah, I moved. I packed up everything I had in Chicago and moved out to LA for it.
When was this? I think it was at the November. Was that right?
No, it was right before Christmas.
Okay, right before Christmas, you go to LA.
Yeah.
And you start working for Conan. What does the job entail? What time do you get there?
I get there early. Like the job starts technically at 9:30. I tend to get there around like 7:30 or 8.
Sometimes Jesus, why? What are you doing?
There's a gym right next door, so sometimes I go there. Sometimes I
Do you have to pay for the gym?
No, it's
that's a perk.
Yeah, so like I want to take advantage of that. I had this whole thing about coming out to LA and just kind of bettering myself. So I was like, well, I'm not gonna have like a free gym membership ever again. No. So
what kind of stuff do you do at the gym?
Oh, this is the worst. Is this like supposed to be a comedy interview?
No, it's not. Who said that? I never said that. I never said I was funny.
I run.
See, I'm not strong enough to run. I just do the elliptical.
Yeah, no, I do that too.
How far do you run?
I run for like I measure it by time, so I'll do like 15 minutes and then I'll lift weights.
What do you lift?
Weights.
What kind of weights? Are they heavy? Are they medium? Are they light?
They're medium. I would say medium.
I'm writing this down. Medium weights. Fantastic. Yeah. How long do you lift for?
I would say an hour.
Oh, so you were in there for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Why do you lift more than run?
Because, oh God, this is, I don't know if, you never met me when I was like fat.
I've seen photos.
You yeah.
You were a tubby boy.
It's bad. Because you actually lose weight, by building muscle.
Oh, okay. See, I'm learning. I didn't know that. Well, I actually didn't know that.
Your metabolism, your muscle fuels your metabolism. So
have you lost weight since you've been there?
Yeah, I've lost 15 pounds.
Holy shit! You weren't fat when you left, though, either.
No, I was. I was getting fat. Like
you
I
were Chicago grow. Comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But
in
you
comparison
were
to that Chicago comedy scene, like
you were on the low end.
Right.
I went back recently to do my show in January, and this is like in the midst of my gym membership, and everyone was like, "You lost so much weight." I go, "No, I didn't. You guys just got fatter," and that was true.
You did lose weight. I remember that.
I don't think I did lose any weight. I think everyone else just got a little plumper.
You lost weight, though, while in Chicago at some point.
I don't think I did. I think it was just my girlfriend went out of town, so I stopped eating and just started drinking whiskey on accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, alcohol does make you lose a lot of weight. You forget to eat, or you get so drunk you forget.
Okay, that's the problem with where we both live now. We're coming from Chicago where you can pretty much get home wasted any night of the week and not worry. You're in LA now. Do you even drink when you go out to bars to do TV shows?
No, actually. I rarely. I've drank maybe twice out there.
That's got to be great, actually.
I feel better. But yeah, there are times where you're like, oh, it'd be great to just get destroyed, you know, and just forget who you are.
I would like. I used to love hearing your like night after stories of you hanging out with comics that you usually would hate, but like getting really drunk with them and bonding.
Yeah, or punching them in the face because I.
Yay, comedy!
Yeah, so.
So you're not doing that in LA?
No, which I hate it. That's part of the reason why I don't like it.
Because you're not getting wasted. You've been out there almost 3 months now.
Yeah.
You've been drinking twice.
Yeah.
How often are you going up? Because when you were in Chicago, you were going up about 5 nights a week. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. Now I'm lucky if I can go up twice a week.
Why? What's the problem?
The problem is, I would say I'm going to blame the majority on myself is I burned myself out. Hold on one second. I'm going to close out my Gmail.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, buddy. Who emailed you now? Go. Who was it?
What? I don't even know. I don't even know where it is. Oh, it's Joe Quazala.
Joe Quazala, the host of the Late Live Show. It seems like that was a built-in plug, CJ.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Hold on. The Steve Jobs is G-chatting me right now. He mentioned
that's not
funny.
Too. That's not funny. That's a Late Live Show type of joke right there.
Come on. I'm no longer affiliated with that show. No.
You are a producer.
Yeah, kind of. Producing entails.
We're jumping way ahead.
Okay, what were we talking about?
Your personal stand-up, as opposed to your big assembly stand-up that you're known to do with choirs and shit. Your personal stand-up went from 5 to 2 nights a week, and you were saying, I'm blaming that on, and then you got an email. What do you blame that on?
I blame it on several things. Sometimes I get out of the show at 7:30 to 8, and open mic.
That's a 12-hour day.
Yeah, sometimes.
Jesus.
And shows start, like, sign-up starts for open mics at, like, 6:30 at the latest.
Really? In L.A.?
Yeah, and then the thing is, L.A. is so spread out, so you got to drive. Like, so 15 miles takes like an hour.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Go ahead.
There have been times where I could have made it, but I was like, I should just go home because I'm so tired.
Yeah.
That never stopped me in Chicago. I don't know, like.
Well, what about the weekends?
The weekends are book shows, and I don't get them.
There's no open mic on the weekend that's decent?
I went to one with Kevin, and it was terrible. They're bad. And you know, Kevin will, he can sit there for some reason.
Kevin Lee is, I'm trying to think. I've seen Kevin Lee bomb like no other, and also kill. I'm serious. Okay. But even when he bombs, he's so likable.
Yeah, I don't, like,
he could win over any fucking room. Like, that's probably the best guy to go to an open mic with.
He's probably the most secure person that I know.
That's awesome. No, this is a total compliment to Kevin. He's just so, he knows with shit in a weird way. He's so fucking, is it because he's so high? He just is like, has some weird, like, Sven Gulli type effect on the world? Answer that question.
Part of it, maybe. Part of it, yeah. I forgot what he is like not high.
Oh, yeah, because that's easy to get out there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're working 12-hour days, and you're also still, you still have your day job that pays the bills.
Right.
And then you come home to Kevin Lee.
Mm-hmm.
What does Kevin do in L.A.?
He goes to open mics quite a bit. He hangs out at food trucks.
How does he pay rent?
He's working at a job at like a charity place, like a fundraising place.
Oh, cool.
Where he cold calls people and asks them. He asks them for now I'm gonna say that forever. He asks them for money.
You're a Galifianakis tag.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you enjoying it out there? You seem to be very overworked and miserable.
No, I'm not.
You're not enjoying it.
I'm not, but I feel like I am progressing in a career, but I don't know if right now that's, because usually I am like, this is what I want to do is get further and do this for a living. I'm questioning it a little bit, but yeah, I'm not particularly enjoying it right now.
Well, you said you're progressing in a career, but are you progressing as a comic?
No, I absolutely not. That's the thing. It's like, I think at the end of the internship, I have to decide what my goals are again. I have to reassess those.
When does the internship end?
Second week of May.
It's coming up.
Yeah, it ends whenever I want it to, but I have to go back to Chicago for graduation.
Wait, you're still in school?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Are you at Columbia?
Yeah. I've been there for 4 years. Yeah. Well, then I went there for 4 years, and then I went to two other schools for like 2 years before that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, wow, it's a pointless degree. Okay, so you're going back to Chicago to graduate, and then what?
I have no idea. I have some shows that I'm waiting to hear back from that I submitted to, but
when you say shows, what do you mean?
Talk shows I've been submitting to. My manager's been getting me some
Wait, you have a manager?
Yeah, we discussed this before, right?
I don't think we did. Who's your manager?
It was on that interview that didn't get posted or didn't record.
So, yeah, well, then I don't. God, that was so disappointing. I'm sorry. I vented about that on like 3 podcasts, so
I know. Remember.
I didn't know you had a manager.
Yeah, I do. But see, this is great because your reaction is like the reaction I would usually have to people telling me that they had managers. But it helps, but it doesn't mean like you're going to be doing this for a living.
Well, what does the manager do?
He looks for jobs for me, and then he kind of tries to sell me to them.
How is that not good?
It's great. It's fantastic. I mean, like, I've submitted to 4 shows. And
what shows?
Fallon, Lopez, Ferguson, and MTV Movie Awards.
What have you got? Have you gotten any responses on anything?
No, that's the thing. It's like, it's awful. And that's, I was talking to the Conan writers about it, and they're like, I was talking to a few of them, and they've, it ranged from 2 months to a year that they've waited for responses. So the thing is, like, I don't know what, I mean, I want to be doing something in the meantime.
What do you want to be doing?
I want to write for a late night talk show. I want to work for a late night talk show.
Why not just do your own?
Because no one's seeing it.
So?
I know, but that can only like go for so long, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Now let's talk about the late live show. CJ and I, we are in a very, very small fraternity of Chicagoans that had talk shows in the city. Right now, there's the late live show. There's You, Me, Them, Everybody. There's the interview show with Mark Bazar at the Hideout. And then there used to be one at I.O. Is there still one at I.O.?
There is. There's still the L show.
Who the hell is that?
That's Andrew Smirker. Yeah, let's bring
Andrew
him in.
Andrew Smirker.
Hey, Brandon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm on vacation visiting CJ, and I feel very relaxed.
Andrew, you work on the late live show as well. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'm the head writer of the show.
You're the head writer. If people go to the show, you're usually at the teleprompter. Is that correct?
No. I'm either usually backstage or in the show. Like we try to rotate duties.
Okay.
So like if you're in a sketch, you don't really have to do anything. And okay. You know what I mean? that would suck.
Like you don't mean like a pre-film sketch. You mean like in the show.
Right. Yeah. Okay. In the live show. Yeah.
Okay. Andrew. Why aren't you the host of the show? You are much more attractive than Joe. You laugh like that question's been asked many times.
Sure, no. I've thought about that because when we were very originally talking about doing a talk show, it was me, CJ, and Joe, and we were going to do this thing where we rotated and each of us were going to host it. And then
a Mr. Show intro type of thing,
maybe,
or
sort of, but like we were gonna do like an 8 week or let's say 9 week run, and then each of us would host the show for 3 weeks or something.
That's actually a good idea.
There's gonna be three different shifts, three different roles: host, head writer, producer.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're gonna switch through those three shifts.
Yeah, but then
What happened to that? Go. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What happened was just a lot of life things kind of changed around. I remember what had happened to me was that I had gone from being unemployed for a really long time and being really destitute to getting a job at Groupon. And then I was there when the company was very first starting. So I was working there a lot. And really what happened was I almost completely stopped doing comedy at all. Okay. And then that January, like January of last year, CJ put out an email to everybody.
Hey, wait, can we name this episode Excuses?
That's just every comedy show ever.
That's what happened is, yeah, like.
There was no active decision to nix that idea.
It kind of just through osmosis, like it slowly became what it was.
What happened? Yeah, I was doing
I remember talking to CJ about a few weeks before the show started, and I go, "Who's going to sit behind the desk?" I'm like, "We don't know yet."
Yeah. There was that too. But I just want to answer the question though too of like why I didn't try to host after CJ left is because we don't really the host can't really be in sketches that much unless they're sort of like playing the host.
Why not?
And I really like playing characters in sketches, so that was why.
Did you guys think about doing pre-film stuff for sketches, and that way the host could be in those, and not the host role?
Really, like deliberately decided against that. Like the hosts can be in videos, but they're usually playing some sort of version of themselves.
Okay.
Now this season, I think we did a really cool thing though, where the host, like the third act sketches, there's less of the host being like, "Why is this sketch going on? We have a show to do." You know that thing where like a host is like the straight man kind of fuddy-dud. But now, this time, like, if the sketch has a style to it, Quizzala and McAdam kind of jump into the style of it. And, like, now they're in the sketch instead of being the people who are, like, trying to stop it. You know what I mean?
So McAdam is the new co-host.
Yes. He's the sidekick. Like,
I hear he's great.
He is great. And but, yeah, like, the difference is, like, Joe and CJ were co-hosts. Like, they did the monologue together.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. I really liked it.
It was jarring. It was weird.
I mean, I don't know from an audience perspective, but yeah.
No, like those weren't like strategies whatsoever. It was literally me and Joe we're such good friends that we never wanted to sit down and have that conversation of, all right, who's going to be better at what job?
Yeah,
what would have been neat is if you had a ping pong table and you just played ping pong while you did the monologue.
Come on. I enjoy that show and I will defend it.
What show?
I thought you were talking about Fallon.
No, I didn't even think of that.
Just those shitty games that he does sometimes.
Oh, I think. Oh, I had no idea. Wait, I think you want to get a job on this guy's show, and you just said he has shitty games, CJ?
No, listen.
So CJ Toledano, whose manager just submitted a writing packet to Later with some show with Jimmy Fallon, called the show stupid?
No, I did not, and I added
And he said the Roots are slaves that are chained to the bandstand.
No, I love that show. Anyways, let's talk more about the live show.
Yeah.
Okay. And how we don't have the Roots, which...
I think the thing that really worked about CJ and Joe, and why it worked with Joe at the desk and CJ on the couch was Joe is really good at keeping the show on track, and CJ is really good at being off the cuff.
I like Joe. I like CJ. My money's on CJ. I'm sorry, Joe. I like CJ more.
No one asked you to put money anywhere.
No. Everyone's asking me to where to put money these days.
Just start fires that we have to put out.
No, there is it's non-existent because Joe's still doing that show,
and he's doing so great.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I think if CJ was doing it, might be a little bit better.
If you went to my farewell show, you would have saw what it was like. No, and
I was busy at my own farewell show.
Right. Yeah, we were both just leaving, huh?
I actually left a little bit before you. I was already in D.C.
Right, yeah.
No, I do like Joe. I'm just giving you guys shit, and I really want the best for your show. But there is a show at I.O. right now, right?
Yeah, it's called The L Show with Alex Moffitt, and Joey Romaine's on it, Jameson Webb. Oh, they're great. They should know.
Are you being sarcastic? I can't tell.
Oh, not at all. No. Jameson Webb and Joey. I've never met Alex Moffitt, but I know Joey and Jameson from like just improv and just knowing them. And
this
fantastic.
Show's been around a lot longer. Is that correct?
It has. Yeah.
Because I remember seeing it like
it
4 years
totally
ago.
It totally is like an IO show. It's improvised. And mm-hmm.
But it's still a talk show, but it's more like character based.
Right.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. I should go see it.
We're very writerly and sitting down. And we're like half the reason was because we wanted the room writing experience.
Yeah, that was really what we were trying to recreate. And I really feel like we got close to it. CJ has talked about like since getting to Conan, mm-hmm. like how accurate or not accurate it was.
Yeah. I mean, like in terms of packets and like just from talking about that with writers, like for example, when you pitch sketches in your packet, you should only just pitch a premise because they want to leave room for room writing. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to pitch, Pimpbot, I'm just going to say Pimpbot. It's a robot that stabs people. Like, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and then you just kind of just let the room organically write the sketch.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or people will go off and be like, all right, this is what we got. Let's move on, and then you go write this later on.
Mm-hmm. Now that you're on Conan and you're kind of are you producing CJ or writing, or what's your actual role in the Late Live show right now?
On the Late Live show, I'm just basically stuff is getting ran by me with Joe.
So is that a producer's role?
I mean, yeah, I don't think there's another title like guy in LA G chatting about.
Yeah, right.
You're a G chatter.
I would say CJ is kind of like if there were a technical term for it, it'd be more of like a consultant right
okay.
now.
Okay. So what have you brought to the show by working with Conan? Working at Conan, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Let's see. What conversations have I had with Quizzala?
You were talking about how like at the rehearsal you felt like Conan and Andy were a lot like you and Joe. Like
yeah, but I don't know if that added something to me and Joe's.
Did you guys have a rehearsal for the Late Live show?
What's that?
Did you guys have a rehearsal for the Late Live show?
No, we first season we never had time because
we did before. We had like an hour before we were doing it in the room next
right,
door.
Right, but we spent most of that time just setting up the show, like the cameras and all that sort of
so
stuff.
So you weren't like blocking or anything like that or running through sketches?
A little bit. It was all this kind of flowing. It was all happening in like 40 minutes. But now this season, we do have time at the DeMott before we do it all the day of the show, like all the last rehearsals and all the last stuff. Like we just show up to the DeMott at like 7 o'clock and just work on it.
So you have 5 hours until, or no, is it 10 or at midnight?
It's at midnight, yeah.
So you have 5 hours to get
shit
in order.
Yeah, but also, like, we have to do, you know, we built, like, a set this time. There are flats and stuff, and, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, everything's more complicated this time, but we have a bigger crew, and, like, people are kind of partitioned off to their certain...
That's great.
It's more organized this time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool to watch the thing come together. Like, the very first week of the new season, I had not seen so much focused and diligent hard work in a small space in a half an hour, like maybe ever.
How old are the majority of the staff?
Mid-20s.
Okay.
Early to mid.
Because that's not the norm.
Yeah.
Are you fighting with each other yet? Let's start some rumors. Go.
No. No. We have discussions and we have disagreements, but we're very respectful of the overall consensus of the room. Or
why is CJ laughing?
I don't know.
CJ.
So funny to seriously break this down, Brandon, to me.
Well, you know how my show is run.
I've always thought Andrew's when he gets serious is always funny to me.
Are you eating a sandwich, by the way?
General consensus. What was the rest of it?
CJ, are you eating right now?
Well, that's also like when CJ was in writers' room meetings, he would also just like he loves to interrupt and keep the meeting from being productive.
Or he makes it funny.
I was responsible for keeping the fun in those meetings.
That's sad. So, if there needs to be someone that's responsible for
fun. I
call
it meetings take longer.
I did this thing where I tickle the staffers, and that would, you know, really just inspire everybody.
Let's go. Let's talk about some dirt on the late live show. Are there any women on your staff?
No, we tried hiring one.
We had two really good female submissions, and we for the second season we did an anonymous submit. Like we take everybody's names off it, read it, and then grade each section. And then we had one that didn't quite make it into the cut, but was very good. And then the other one, we really wanted her, but she had a schedule conflict.
What are their names?
Is that cool to do that?
You're asking the wrong person. All right, well, they're good packets.
Okay, yeah, they were good packets. The one that didn't quite make it was Julia Solomon. And the one that did make it, but had a scheduling conflict, was Christina Boucher.
Okay. That's good to know. So those are the only two almost funny women in Chicago.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I've had that question a lot. Like, I would say five girls have maybe said to me, like, how come you have no women on the staff? And
oh, I was just joking. I don't care.
Yeah, I also know you don't care. But like, and then I was like, yeah, we're accepting submissions, and only two girls applied.
Yeah. How many packets did you guys get?
It was like 15.
That's a lot. I mean, what did the packet entail? Like a sketch and
no, it was pretty extensive. We tried to mimic like a real late night show.
Yeah, but
packet.
Ours was a lot more extensive.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Really? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but we also didn't know.
We didn't know. Yeah, we didn't know how it was. I mean, we have all these different slots in the show, and we just broke it down by slot and had people submit examples of, you know, monologue jokes, desk jokes, a character for warm up, a sketch, a video, all that stuff. And then, like, for the desk, we asked for an original piece with some examples and then examples of a piece that we already had.
What's the goal for the late live show? Unlike most shows or whatever, it doesn't seem to be for one person. It seems to be like you want this entity to be bought and then produced. Is that correct or am I
wrong?
That's
maybe one of the avenues.
I think everyone on the staff has something different.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of different between everyone. I have like a very ambitious goal for the show, which is that if there were enough well-produced episodes and we were able to attract enough audience members to just sell ad revenue directly on the site to cut out any sort of third party purchase of the show, that we retain full ownership of it.
People can watch the first season online.
Yeah.
But it's video only. Like you can't just listen to the show.
No. No. There are images that go with it.
Well, it's not a podcast.
No, it's not.
God forbid your words hold up. I'm sorry. You got to use cheap gags.
Sure.
You guys also did something ambitious. Didn't you guys do 30 days of videos leading up to the premiere?
Yeah, we've done that twice now.
It's pretty ambitious.
Yeah.
That's stolen from Fallon.
Right. It was fun to kind of it was hard getting over the hill of like making some of those, but then once you do it and see that it's not a big deal, before you know it, you have a couple up there and you're like, oh, I just like put out some funny stuff, like, and it took no effort.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now let's talk shit about the other talk shows.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's go.
Okay.
Andrew, have you even seen my show?
No, I've not. I'm sorry.
It's fun. Right. It's a lot of fun.
What's up?
It's a lot of fun. I loved doing your show.
That you were on one of the most interesting episodes.
when I was on, we had like a
sound issue. It was the first time we ever were going to use a different piece of sound device.
Right.
We were, fuck, what the hell is it? I bought it. It was such a waste of money. We ended up using it for your interview, and that was the only time we ever used it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting. You should listen to the Mike David episode. That's a fun one.
Because
Claudio comes in, and there's a whole thing with the hipsters and Claudio.
Who's
fun.
Claudio?
Claudio the tamale guy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was interesting. I'd like to think that my show, if each one of these shows is something, you guys are trying to do Conan and I'm trying to do Ferguson. CJ, is that fair?
I would say so. And that was kind of I pitched that idea to you where we would do like a block at Second City.
Oh, yeah, I still think that would totally make sense. I'd either
programming.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Something I also think that like we should try to figure out where we get the fucking Chicago press to like highlight 1 week of these shows and like try to do five nights in 1 week and do to show that there's something.
Making Chicago press do anything but make it a Metromix pick is impossible.
Yeah,
I know. I did a staged dramatic reading interpretation of Empire Records last night at the
I saw you advertising that
at the art gallery I curated, and I got the DC press to write about it in like the most popular blog that they have. And they like gave me a whole page, and like there was YouTube clips, and it was amazing. That I lived here for 3 months and sent an email 36 hours before the event. That's how lazy Chicago press is.
Oh man, yeah.
Fucking hate it. No, it's awful. They don't even cover comedy in the Reader.
Yeah, we got week one. We got a little tiny blurb in the second page of the Weekend Red Eye, but there was a photo. I was really proud of it.
We got the last fucking four shows that we've done. In Chicago, we've always been the Weekend Best Bet from the Friday Red Eye into Monday, or the Monday Best Bet. We've always been the Timeout Deal of the Week. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
It doesn't translate to shit. You have a show this Saturday night at the Second City. Is that correct?
I won't be there. I'm still on vacation, but I sent in monologue jokes and desk jokes, and I just saw the script for this week's show, and it's really funny.
Who are your guests?
The guests are, I actually don't know. It's,
Don't worry about it. How do you book the guests?
It's an animal trainer.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be fun. That's perfect.
Yeah. We were really excited to have a legit, and we pitched, I would say that's the most pitched premise, at the Late Live Show is, animal trainer parodies, like where it's like the animal's dead or something like that.
Well, I mean, you guys opened your first show ever with a cooking demo.
Yeah, which was great, and like, I think we're
Now you've gotten every single talk show thing you need to do. You've knocked it all out.
I think we're doing another cooking one this season with somebody who was on Top Chef.
Nice.
Joe handles all the guest bookings, which is why I don't know what's going on.
And how many CG are you eating chips?
I mean, apple.
Thank you. Thanks for eating something that everyone could hear.
He cut it too. Did you hear that?
Thanks, buddy.
Very courteous.
I eat apple. when does this run end?
It's a 10-week run, and we have a 1 week break because of Chicago Improv Festival. Okay. I believe it ends mid-May.
May 13th, I'm the guest.
Yeah. May 13th, and CJ's the guest?
Yes, that's right, because he'll be graduating college, which is
that's why, yeah.
An accomplishment worthy of...
Oh, it's so stupid.
It's real stupid.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to try to make it out to one of those. Any exciting guests that we should know about that we could plug?
We've been...
Mr. T.
No.
Get Mr. T.
No.
Oh, man, I really wish Joe was here.
Don't worry about it. We'll put it on the website, but everyone should go...
I know. Shauna Davis?
Yeah.
Who's Shauna Davis? Oh, the speed skater?
Yeah. He's
coming on. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, it's great to talk to athletes. They have so much to say.
they just had Keith Phipps from AV Club last week. Did you had him on there?
I know. We both had Rabe, and I was like, one's enough. I'm good with the AV Club now.
Yeah, and we had Rebecca Skloot the first week, who's a best-selling author. It was crazy because right after we had her on the show, I had to fly to D.C., actually, and in the airport, her book was everywhere, and I was just
Why didn't you tell me? We've never hung out in person. This would have been a blast.
Right, man. I'm sorry. I was there for less than 24 hours for my job.
What do you do? Are you still at Groupon?
Yeah, I'm still at Groupon. this will be the most uninteresting part of this, but I help with the Merchant mobile app, which is like an iPhone app for merchants. They can scan the Groupons.
Why is that boring? That's actually very interesting.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It's just not comedy.
Could I get a job from you?
A lot of people have asked me that.
And now I'm asking on a microphone.
We the way that is people we kind of recruit now is we'll have a situation where we need a lot of temps, and then we just put people on the temp list, and then you get in by temping, and then there's a lot of temp to hire, actually.
I can't move back to Chicago for that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Do you have any experience in customer service? Or
no, I do a talk show.
Oh, okay.
And my show's mean.
Okay.
Your show's nice. No, your show is
okay,
nice.
Your show's fake mean, though.
I don't know about that, man. We'll find out.
You've been very nice to everyone I've heard. I've only listened to like 5 of them.
There you go. I've only done like 50. Kidding. All right. We're going to wrap this up. Andrew, thanks for stealing the microphone. It was a pleasure talking
to
you.
Thank you so much. It's a huge honor. Thank you.
It was a huge honor. You need to reassess where your life is.
I've never been interviewed before.
It shows, okay?
Okay.
No, it means you're very nice and attentive.
Uh-huh.
It's a good thing.
Uh-huh. Meanwhile, apple time.
Yeah, I like this guy with the apples over here.
It's jaded. He'll fucking cut an apple.
Not jaded. If I was talking to Brandon in person, I wouldn't feel it was disrespectful to eat an apple.
No, when it was in person, when it was in person, you made fun of my comedy style, and then I told you, good luck getting your dad back to life.
That was a callback to the last one.
It was fun to insult lack of fathers. Different reasons.
We had a dad off.
We did.
I remember we had Paul Hornschmeyer on that week, and it was the first time I've ever met Paul, and he was like, hey, I just listened to that episode of You, Me, Them, Everybody. And I was like, oh, yeah, what'd you think? And he's like, man, you and Brandon, I got really uncomfortable listening to it. So,
I love CJ. That's not a joke. Okay. Oh, I just see a... Oh, fuck. This isn't a joke. I just turned my head and I can't talk loud because my girlfriend could probably hear in the other room. And I just see another dead mouse. Fuck. Oh. Fuck. It's like this... No, I'm not joking. This is like the 6th one.
How is your apartment? How's your setup out there?
It's awesome. The apartment itself is great, except for all these fucking dead mice. God damn it. The comedy scene here is really, really weak, but the people that are good are very good and very nice. People move to New York way too soon because it's so close.
Yeah.
And the rent here is just as expensive as New York, so there's no reason not to go to New York.
Right.
The food here sucks. That's my biggest complaint. And if that's my biggest complaint, it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
The bar owners are really cool. I'm the only talk show in this town, so everyone's very nice and friendly. And no, I'm serious. We're like the interview show. I think gets the most love out of any of our shows. And Mark's great.
Talk shows.
Yeah, and Mark's a great guy, and more power to him. But I think what all four of us are doing are totally different. And I'm staring at this dead mouse. Sorry.
Right. I think. Well, yeah. Being at the Hideout is like kind of prime real estate for attracting the audience that would listen to like a local talk show too.
Totally. Well, here's the thing. Mark's trying to do. He was on the show the other week. What Mark's doing isn't what I'm trying to do, and what definitely not what you guys are trying to do, because it's just him. But it's not necessarily comedy based. But yeah, it's not necessarily interview based either. I know it's called the interview show.
Yeah, I went and saw it, and yeah, he's funny. But he's not doing comedy at all.
No, he's not. He's more like intellectually stimulating.
Exactly.
Where I'm trying to do this whole like British tangent. I'm like 2 steps away from suicide comedy thing, and you guys are doing straight up comedy like that appeals to a mass audience, and the other guys are just doing an improv show that happens to be a talk show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
but that's not a knock. They're super successful and they're in an awesome situation. Yeah.
They kind of take pride in like how stripped down their preparedness is, or how much they don't prepare.
And that's fine. It's just I don't want to be surrounded by anyone that says yes and. I want to be surrounded by potential fights. Hold on. Don't come in here. Close the door. Don't come in here. Close the door. Don't come in here. Close the door.
Bye.
Shit. Oh, she's going to freak out. All right. We got to end this interview so I could pick up some dead animals that my cat so kindly killed. Shit, did you hear that?
I did. Well, hey, are you coming
to
LA?
My girlfriend just screamed, oh no. What were you saying, CJ?
We're going to do a show in LA, huh?
Yeah, we're going to do a show in LA. Right now it looks like summer, but hopefully I want to get out there sooner. Because I'm going to spend a week in Chicago in April, and then I'm going to be in Philadelphia, so I need to figure out when I can get to LA.
Yeah, well, let me know.
Yes, it's going to be a blast. CJ, are you free next Friday to do this again?
I am.
Let's do this next Friday. Andrew, enjoy Chicago.
I'm free too.
Will you be in Vegas still?
No, but I'll be in LA. You don't have to interview me.
Wait, you'll be in LA next week?
Yeah, I leave next Saturday.
Will you be with CJ?
I think so.
Yeah.
But
let's do part two of this three-way.
This bad riff has turned into...
No, we'll do it on Friday, and then I'll be in Chicago that Saturday, so I might see you there.
Cool.
All right, friends, being friends. All right, thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful evening.